Reading the book Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. This is being read by Peter John Parises, also known as Brian Dean. Picking up, ninth day, abide in Christ as your sanctification. Quote, of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Unquote. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Paul, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Thus the chapter opens in which we are taught that Christ is our sanctification. In the Old Testament, believers were called the righteous. In the New Testament, they are called saints, the holy ones, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Holy is higher than righteousness. See the footnote. Holiness may be called spiritual perfection, as righteousness is legal completeness. From God's Way of Holiness by H. Bonnard. That's B-O-N-A-R-D. B-O-N-A-R. End of the footnote. Holy in God has reference to his innermost being, righteous to his dealings with his creatures. In man, righteousness is but a stepping stone to holiness. It is in this he can approach most near to the perfection of God. Matthew 5:48, 1 Peter 1:16. In the Old Testament, righteousness was found while holiness was only typified in Jesus Christ, the Holy One, and in his people, his saints, or holy ones. It is first realized. As in Scripture and in our texts, so in personal experience, righteousness precedes holiness. When first the believer finds Christ as his righteousness, he has such joy in the new-made discovery that the study of holiness hardly has a place. But as he grows, the desire for holiness makes itself felt, and he seeks to know what provision his God has made for supplying that need. A superficial acquaintance with God's plan leads to the view that while justification is God's work, by faith in Christ, sanctification is our work, to be performed under the influence of the gratitude we feel for the deliverance we have experienced, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit. By the earnest, Christian soon finds how little gratitude can supply the power. When he thinks that more prayer will bring it, he finds that, indispensable as prayer is, it is not enough. Often the believer struggles hopelessly for years, until he listens to the teaching of the Spirit, as he glorifies Christ again and reveals Christ, our sanctification, to be appropriated by faith alone. Christ is made of God unto us sanctification. Holiness is the very nature of God, and that alone is holy, which God takes possession of and fills with himself. God's answer to the question, how sinful man could become holy, is Christ the Holy One of God. In him whom the Father sanctified and set into the world, God's holiness was revealed incarnate and brought within reach of man. I sanctify myself for them, that they also may be sanctified in truth. There is no other way of becoming holy, but by becoming partakers of the holiness of Christ. And there is no other way of this taking place than by our personal spiritual union with him, so that through his Holy Spirit, his holy life flows into us. Of God are ye in Christ, who is made unto us sanctification. Abiding by faith in Christ, our sanctification, is the simple secret of a holy life. The measure of sanctification will depend on the measure of abiding in him. As the soul learns wholly to abide in Christ, the promise is increasingly fulfilled. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. To illustrate this relation between the measure of the abiding and the measure of sanctification experienced, let us think of the grafting of a tree, that instructive symbol of our union to Jesus. The illustration is suggested by the Savior's words, make the tree good and his fruit good. I can graft a tree so that only a single branch bears good fruit, while many of the natural branches remain and bear their old fruit, a type of believers in whom a small part of the life is sanctified, but in whom, from ignorance or other reasons, the carnal life still in many respects has full dominion. I can graft a tree so that every branch is cut off, and the whole tree becomes renewed to bear good fruit. And yet, unless I watch over the tendency of the stems to give sprouts, they may again rise and grow strong, and robbing the new graft of the strength it needs, make it weak. Such are Christians who, when apparently powerfully converted, forsake all to follow Christ, and yet after a time, through unwatchfulness, allow old habits to regain their power, and whose Christian life and fruit are but feeble. But if I want a tree wholly made good, I take it when young, and cutting the stem clean off the ground, I graft it yet where it emerges from the soil. I watch over every bud which the old nature could possibly put forth, until the flow of the sap from the old roots into the new stem is so complete that the old life has, as it were, been entirely conquered and covered of the new. Here I have a tree entirely renewed, emblem of the Christian who has learned to in entire consecration to surrender everything for Christ, and in a wholehearted faith wholly to abide in Him. If in this last case the old tree were a reasonable being that could cooperate with a gardener, what would his language be to it? Would it not be this? Yield now thyself entirely to this new nature with which I have invested thee. Repress every tendency of the old nature to give buds or sprouts. Let all thy sap and all thy life powers rise up into this graft from yonder beautiful tree, which I have put on thee. So shalt thou bring forth sweet and much fruit. And the language of the tree to the gardener would be, when thou graftest me, O spare not a single branch. Let everything of the old self, even the smallest bud, be destroyed, that I may no longer live in my own, but in that other life that was cut off and bought and put upon me, that I might be wholly new and good. And once again, could you afterwards ask the renewed tree, as it was bearing abundant fruit, what it could say of itself? Its answer would be this: in me, that is, in my roots, there dwelleth no good thing. I am ever inclined to evil. The sap I collect from the soil is in its natural corrupt, and ready to show itself in bearing evil fruit. But just where the sap rises from the sunshine to ripen into fruit, the wise gardener hath clothed me with a new life, through which my sap is purified, and all my powers are renewed to the bringing forth of good fruit. I have only to abide in that which I have received. He cares for the immediate repression and removal of every bud which the old nature still would put forth. Christian, fear not to claim God's promises to make thee holy. Listen not to the suggestion that the corruption of the old nature would render holiness an impossibility. In thy flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that flesh, though crucified with Christ, is not yet dead, but will continually seek to rise and lead thee to evil. But the Father is the husbandman. He hath grafted the life of Christ on thy life. That holy life is mightier than thy evil life. Under the watchful care of the husbandman, that new life can keep down the workings of the evil life within thee. The evil nature is there, with its unchanged tendency to rise up and show itself. But the new nature is there too, the living Christ. Thy sanctification is there, and through him all thy powers can be sanctified as they rise into life and be made to bear fruit to the glory of the Father. And now, if you would live a holy life, abide in Christ your sanctification. Look upon him as the Holy One of God made man, that he might communicate to us the holiness of God. Listen when Scripture teaches that there is within you a new nature, a new man, created in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness. Remember that this holy nature which is in you is singularly fitted for living a holy life and performing all holy duties, so much so as the old nature is for doing evil. Understand that this holy nature within you hath its roots in life in Christ in heaven, and can only grow and become strong as the intercourse between it and its source is uninterrupted. And above all, believe most confidently that Jesus Christ himself delights in maintaining that new nature within you and imparting to it his own strength and wisdom for its work. Let that faith lead you daily to the surrender of all self-confidence and the confession of the utter corruption of all there is in you by nature. Let it fill you with a quiet and assured confidence that you are indeed able to do what the Father expects of you as his child under the covenant of his grace, because you have Christ strengthening you. Let it teach you to lay yourself and your service on the altar as spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable in his sight, a sweet-smelling savor. Look not upon a life of holiness as a strain and an effort, but as the natural outgrowth of the life of Christ within you. And let ever again a quiet, hopeful, gladsome faith hold itself assured that all you need for a holy life will most assuredly be given you out of the holiness of Jesus. Thus you will understand and prove what it is to abide in Christ, our sanctification. Note, the thought that in the personal holiness of our Lord, a new holy nature was formed to be communicated to us, and that we make use of it by faith, is the central idea of Marshall's invaluable work, The Gospel Mystery of Sanctification. One great mystery is that the holy frame and disposition whereby our souls are furnished and enabled for our immediate practice of the law must be obtained by receiving it out of Christ's fullness, as a thing already prepared and brought to in existence for us in Christ and treasured up in him. And that as we are justified by a righteousness wrought out in Christ and imputed to us, so we are sanctified by such a holy frame and qualification as are first wrought out and completed in Christ for us and then imparted to us. As our natural corruption was produced originally in the first Adam and propagated from him to us, so our new nature and holiness is first produced in Christ and derived from him to us, or, as it were, propagated, so that we are not at all to work together with Christ in making or producing that holy frame in us, but only to take it to ourselves and use it in our holy practice as made ready to our hands. Thus we have fellowship with Christ in receiving that holy frame of spirit that was originally in him. For fellowship is where several persons have the same things in common. This mystery is so great that notwithstanding all the light of the gospel, we commonly think that we must get and holy frame by producing it anew in ourselves and by pursuing it and working it out of our own heart. See chapter 3. Footnote. I have felt so strongly that the teachings of Marshall is just what the church needs to bring out clearly what the scriptural path of holiness is, that I have prepared an abridgment, all in the author's own words, of his work, by leaving out what was not essential to his argument and shortening when he appeared diffuse. I hope to bring this book within reach of many who might never read the larger work. It is published by Nesbitt and Company under the title The Highway of Holiness. I cannot too earnestly urge every student of theology and of Scripture and of the art of holy living to make himself master of the teaching of Marshall's 3rd, 4th, and 12th chapter. End of the footnote. End of the note.